Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Royales 90 podcast. I'm your host, Eduardo Razo, and joining me, as always, is Patrick Meehan. Pat, is the season done?
Well, not technically, right? But yeah.
No, I mean, like, yeah, but points-wise, is I mean, we'll break it down right now, but just in your opinion, just a quick, your quick thoughts. Just this one was kind of like the last... We're like the cat with nine lives, and I think we're at like nine, like live eight, closing in on live nine. This was the game that they should have had against the Luka on the road. They switched it from you know an early start time on Sunday to a Friday night, and yeah, I mean, let me just get your opinion overall, just really quickly. Do you think the tournament, you know, Ligia wise, Ligia dreams are they done?
Yeah, I think they're done. I don't see, I mean, I definitely see this team picking it up and, you know, start playing better and start winning, but I just don't see it as like that being enough for getting into a Liguilla. But you know, yeah, I don't.
Yeah. It's kind of depressing. But let's break down the game against Toluca. Let's start on the positive. Let's start with what was good about this game, and that was that they were creating a lot of chances, and it was Matias Caranaviter's first league game. I'll let you take the floor first. What did you like about this game? What were some positive stuff that you got to see before it all went down the drain in a 2-0 loss to Toluca?
No, yeah, definitely that exactly. Where, you know, we create chances. We're one of the teams with as more, the most, you know, arsenal to do that. And I mean, they're just not finishing them. And it's as simple as that, because you can see the stats. It's just we're creating the chances. They're just not going into the back of the net. I don't know if that's luck, like Turco calls it, but it's something that's not working. Maybe you don't necessarily need to create a lot of chances. Maybe you need to try and control the game more, get some more confidence in the players, so that when they do get that one chance, they'll finish it. I don't know. Yeah. But I think it's crazy. Like that.
I think it's better. They got to have better shot selection. I made a Craneviter little clip of his first half performance where, I thought he was pretty good defensively, disrupting. There you go. That's the word I was looking. Disrupting passing lanes. He was he wasn't leaving his man, but if somebody needed help, like if Miguel Layuni needed help defensively, he was there to just not leave his position, but he was there to put some pressure defensively. I saw him, you know, win his most of his duels. So he was good defensively. I liked what I saw in Celso as well. I think that double five can probably work. That's kind of given me more confidence than Jansen and Funes Mori, just because the goals haven't been going in, and so there's not a lot of confidence there right now. There's people saying Jansen should start over Funes Mori, just have a one striker. But as far as Craneviter and Celso, I liked what I saw. And Miguel Layun was really good. He, in terms of like creating chances, being involved offensively. The only thing I didn't like about this game was when he was taking shots, they weren't good. I think he took three shots and all of them were off target. And then one that really bugged me was, I think in the second half, where Stefan Medina did a nice long pass, like a change of play pass, and it landed right on Layun's feet. And instead of trying to create something, he takes a shot, I think, from outside the box, and it goes way wide. And I think that's something I would love to have enough time and all the tape to see what their shot selection is. It's like I'm going to try to equivalent it to the NBA in basketball, where they have I don't know the exact same stats, but they have where more than likely 3-point shots are the hardest shots to take, but there's different parts of the area of the basketball, or the court, I should say, where you have a higher percentage chance of making that shot. And I just want to see where exactly are they taking all their shots from when they're inside the box, outside the box, like from the locations. Because in this game, they took 20 shots and 12 of them were off target. I think eight were blocked, 12 of them were off target, and only five of them were on target. So if you take 20 shots and only five of them go on target or go on target, that is not very good. That is really, really bad. And I think that's what kind of prompted me to bring up the discussion or the idea. I was like, you know, what type of shots are they taking? Are they taking shots that are going that are mostly from outside the box, or who is taking all these shots? Just because I mean, I don't want to just say, oh, it's all bad luck, because I subscribe to the notion that luck only comes in with injuries. Like, that's when you can say, yeah, we have bad luck, because injuries are something you can't control. Like, injuries just happen. Having 20 shots and five of them go off target, I don't think it's luck necessarily. It's like you got to examine where are you taking all these shots from, or from what area of the box or area of the pitch. And yeah, and I just want to get your thoughts on that. It's like 20 shots off target. That's a lot. And what exactly do you want to see this? I mean, we both think that the tournament is done. And so what happens next? Like, what do you want to see this next? Or what do you want to see from this team to try and get out of this stretch of bad play?
Switching it up, getting more minutes for other guys, trying new things. Where's Akilova? And you know, just different formations, different things. I don't know if he should remain Turco, but at least for his last hurrah, kind of, you know, go all out for the cup. Obviously, try to qualify, but if you do it, I would like for him to try that while trying new things, just so we can get minutes under a lot of players and have a good, solid rotation. And that's about it.
Yeah. Let's talk about all the bad that we kind of saw. I mean, we already started talking about it a little bit, but what didn't you like in this game against Toluca? What kind of, like, not pissed you off, but what kind of just made you think, like, what are we doing here?
I don't know if there's something in particular, but I remember being frustrated a lot of times about that, exactly what you said, shot selection. It was just some don't shoot yet, you know, kind of deals. I also got frustrated with, you know, finishing. Funes Mori had one-on-one that was like, come on, man, make that. We rarely... We're creating shots and we're taking a lot of shots, but not all of them are like this super, you know, easy in a way. It's obviously not easy, but you know what I mean. And I think the substitutions, I'm not remembering exactly what were the substitutions, but I remember just being frustrated about the decisions there. And I just switched off after. You know, the first goal, I was like, yeah, we're not coming back from this, and we didn't.
Yeah, no, Toluca ended up scoring another goal. I'm like, Pat, can you tell me why does Ponchito get minutes? I have yet to understand why. And I was listening to Santiago Furcade's show. I think it was before it switched to 12 p.m. Monterrey, but he was talking about why does Ponchito get minutes? Like, where, like, he's been giving so many opportunities, and he's just not been able to take. I mean, granted, injuries have played a part, yes, but when he's been healthy, like he is so far right now, he hasn't been able to make a difference. He hasn't, in the Copa, he hasn't really stood out. He's just there. So I don't understand why he's not, this isn't a youngster. He's not fulfilling the Mexican youngsters rule. He's just there. Like, he came in. I think he came in for Granavita, if I'm not mistaken. But he came in, played like maybe less than 20 minutes, like between 10 and 20 minutes. But, you know, those are minutes that can be useful for someone that's going to be effective.
Yeah, exactly. He's Ponchito, in this case, I think is officially the eternal promise of something that could have been. Obviously, I mean, I like him. He's talented, but injuries plus obviously being in this team, you get a lot of bench time, and that definitely doesn't help. I think he's just trying to get him going, I guess. I don't know. And it's just not happening. I like him, but I just don't want to see that much.
Yeah, of him. I think he's just more suited for a mid-table club or lower-table club. It's just he doesn't have that type of pressure on him. I think he'd probably do well with a club like Necaxa or you know, someone a club like that. But let's talk about the defense, because that's kind of been the main issue so far this season. I know I'm not sure who tweeted this out, but somebody tweeted this out, and I didn't even realize it, and I didn't even decide to do the math. But the average age of our defense is 32 years old, and I think the only reason why it's only 32 is because Cesar Montes probably brings it down a little bit. If it wasn't for him, it would probably be a lot older. But where do you want to start on that? Because some people, and I think we'll get into it a little bit, but Basanta has kind of been a lightning rod of discussion for a lot of people on Rayados Twitter. Some will say it's management's fault that they put him in this position rather than letting him leave on a high note. And some will say, well, it's him. He still wants to prove that he still has something left in the tank. I'm not sure. I can understand both sides, but where do you want to take this discussion on defense? Because it's been the main talking point all tournament long. That's kind of been the issue, along with being unlucky. I guess those have been like the two discussion points. But I'll let you have at it.
Yeah. We've talked about this before in this podcast, saying that we need to get the numbers down in age in the defense. You know, Banchioni, Nico, Basanta, Layun. Stefan is at a good age. Obviously, Cesar Montes is at a good age. And then we have the youngsters, Parra and Edson, which is good. But yeah, the majority of the guys that I mentioned are over 30 and not playing at their best. Obviously, every day they're declining a bit more. And it's one of the positions in the field where we've talked about it. I mean, it's something that we wanted during this winter. Didn't get it. Almost got it with Sebastian Vegas. But apparently it's going to happen until the summer. And, you know, we're seeing the effects of waiting, you know. At the end of the day, I get it. Yeah, there's not a lot of players during the winter or whatever. But you can still find a player, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they actually went that extra mile to get that guy. And we'll have to wait till the summer and we're paying the price.
Yeah. And again, I want to reference Santiago Furcado was talking about this a couple of weeks ago. I know I was listening, and he said they understood that Johan Vasquez was going to leave when the Club World Cup was going on. Like, they understood that, which was like, that's mid-December or around mid-December. You kind of knew that he was going to leave, and you had pretty much month and a couple of weeks to try to put together plan A, plan B, and plan C. And when plan A didn't go as planned, they kind of folded and didn't even try to pursue a plan B or a plan C. And now it's kind of coming to bite them in the rear end, just because, look, I love Basanta and Nico Sanchez, but it's two guys that are 30 years old, and you don't want to, it's not ideal to have your two starting center backs be in their mid 30s unless they're world class. But yeah, man, it's been, I don't think it's going to stop until they sign at least two center backs in the summer. It's going to be going on all season long. Let me talk before I switch over to the attack and then wrap up this part of the podcast, just talking this or recapping this match against Toluca. What are your thoughts on the whole Basanta topic? Because, like I said, there's one area of the room is say leave. It's kind of gotten ugly, or at least people's comments towards him, and then there's other where they still appreciate him, and it's just they're blaming management for putting him in this situation because they didn't bring in anybody else, or they took his word that he can still play at a high level. Where do you stand on all of this?
Yeah, I don't want to hate him. You know, I don't want to hate him, and I'm not gonna criticize him, because the people saying to Basanta, "Hey, leave, stop playing." Well, I want to keep playing, and the coaches are putting me in. What else can he do? You know,
yeah, he has a contract.
Yeah. So I'm not blaming him, and I'm not gonna criticize him. I'm criticizing what we still think, even if we won, you know, those titles. Right last year, Inteligencia Deportiva, I don't know how to say, how do you say that in English? Like the scouting department or whatever.
Oh, yeah. The sporting directors, scouting departments, yeah. The whole people in charge of constructing the team, pretty much.
Yeah, like football decisions. Yeah. We've criticized it before and saying that they're not, you know, going in the same page. And all these decisions just keep showing up. Now Basanta is the topic. Because why? Because we didn't sign a central defender. And then, you know, Pizarro leaving. And, of course, nothing to replace him with. You know, it's just a bunch of those. And so I'm not blaming Basanta. I'm blaming the sporting decisions in the club.
Yeah, I think he was put in a rough situation. I mean, like I said, he has a contract. He can't void a contract. He has to play out this next 6 months, or, you know, this half year, 6 months, whatever it be. But, you know, he shouldn't be starting week in and week out. He's probably good for 20 minutes or so. So, but yeah, I do agree with you. It's on the entire management that, I don't know where their head was, but they should have had a plan B when the Vega transfer did. It wasn't going to go through. Instead of saying, you know what? Well, we'll just leave it to the summer. I don't understand that. I don't understand that train of thought that they were having. And then I guess this is a good transition to the offense that has struggled against Toluca, who Toluca's defense is giving up 2 goals per game. And granted, Talavera put on a good performance. There was a good save that he had on Funes Mori where somehow he trapped it between his legs, his header. And then there was another one where Vincent Janssen, I'm not sure if he wanted to go around him instead of chipping, you know, trying to chip it over him when it was one-on-one early in that, it was midway through that first half. But obviously this offense needs some type of injection or something. They did spend, was it reported, $6 million on or $8 million, depending on who do you believe, on Aki Loba. And from reports, it's saying that Turco doesn't like him or not like him. Not necessarily like him as a person, but like his game and like how he is performing. And it didn't help that in his first game with the club against Celaya, he took a penalty that was very, very awful. And I don't know what he was thinking. And you know, that was his first impression, and so it didn't help him. But now where they're pretty much need someone that can finish or someone that can finish off chances, at what point do you just say, here, Akilova, please try to see if you can finish these scoring chances that we're creating, because so far no one is being able to, despite them playing the worst defense or the worst defensive group in Liga MX and Toluca, they did not score any goals. At what point do you just say, or at what point do you just put in Maki Loba to see if he can finish off those chances for them?
Yeah, now, I think this is a point now where you need to try something new, try something different. Not only Maki Loba, but, you know, different formations. And even Ponchito can be in those minutes, you know, but just try something different. You know,
sorry to cut you off, Pat, but I didn't have you on last week when they played America. And what I liked was that I think it was like a 3-5-2 formation or whatever, where they had three center backs at the back, and they let their fullbacks pretty much convert themselves into wingbacks, and it allowed for a player like Stefan Medina to be more active offensively. And I think, like I said, we kind of got to see Stefan Medina play when he plays for Colombia, where he's more involved offensively. I kind of like that formation. Again, I think Stefan Medina can do way more than just be relied upon defensively. Like his defense is arguably the best on the team, but I think he can help contribute more offensively. And we kind of see a little bit more and more with the long ball passes, like the changeup. Like I said, he did a really good long ball pass to Miguel Layun. But I just want to get your thoughts just on that 3-5-2 formation, I think it was, that they were playing with against America last week. And what formation do you think this team should play, or what combination of players would you like to see just to experiment to see if they can start clicking offensively and actually starting to finish off their chances?
I would like to see, because, you know, seeing this formation from the game against Toluca, there was a lot of defensive players. You know, you have Gallardo is defensive. I mean, obviously he's good offensively, but he, you know, first-minded is offensive or defensively. Layun as well. Craneviter, Celso, and then the whole back line and the goalkeeper. You know, it was mainly like defensive-minded people. So maybe I would try to, and we're still creating chances. It's not bad, but, you know, obviously it's harder to, if you create a lot of chances and you have more defensive people, they're harder for them to finish those chances. So I would like to see maybe just be more vulnerable in the back by, you know, releasing. I know that's not the best idea given our defense, but, you know, maybe you have to do that. You know, if they score two on you, you score three or four. If they score one, you score two. So you have even more chances, but there are more chances of being finished by more offensive players. So get Jansen and Funes in there, you know, Dorla and Akelova, or whoever the combination that he wants it to be. Ponchito is offensive. You know, if you get, instead of only having like three or four offensive players, get like five or six in there. That's I think, a switch I would like to see.
Yeah. At this point, like, I'm just kind of puzzled. I don't know where to go. I know, I think first thing I would like to see Akilova play, see if he can finish off those chances, because at this point they have nothing to lose. All they have left pretty much invested is the Copa. I mean, it would take a miracle run to make the Liga. They would probably have to win, I think they have, what, 7 or 8 matches left in the tournament. They probably have to win 7 out of 8, or all 7. If there's 7, they would have to go on a run that's pretty much unheard of. They have the talent. I'm not saying that they cannot do it, but if you're a gambling person, if you're in Vegas, and if you're, and if somebody asks you which bet are you going to take, the one where you know, are they going to make it or not, you're going to go with the odds and say, you know what, I don't think they're going to do it, just because you're asking them to climb over, I think, what is it, 8-9 clubs. That's a lot. That you're asking them to just jump over a lot of teams. Granted, some of them are bad, but still, it's right now you can't puff out your chest and say we're a good team. We're just having a bad stretch. At this point, it is what it is. But let's talk about what are we going to look forward to for the rest of the season. I'll ask you this. Aside from the Copa MX, what's going to motivate you, or not motivate you, motivate's a lot, a bad word, but for lack of a better word, what's going to make you try to, you know, watch all these games? I think, what, like I said, 7 or 8 games left in this tournament. What do you want to see, or what's going to get you to turn on the TV, aside from the love of the club that we all have? But what's going to, you know, what's going to get you to turn on the TV for these games that could be potentially meaningless?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, Akilova playing, youngsters playing, different things. I don't know. I just want to see, like, stuff being switched inside. That's how, you know, it's always nice to see one of the promising youngsters like Plátano you know, get some minutes out in there, and you know, maybe he scores like 3 or 4. So for next season, he's a rotation guy. I love to see that, and I would love to see that this season.
Yeah. Yeah, I have it circled. I want to see more Barra, Platano, just to, because obviously you need to fulfill that role. But these guys are kind of showing they have potential. I mean, we saw Platano score a really impressive goal against Santos a couple of weeks ago in the return leg. And then Barra, on Friday, he looked pretty good. Like, he didn't look out of place, or he had some scoring opportunities that he missed during those. I think it was in the first half and on a set piece. But for the most part, defensively, he looks like he's comfortable. Obviously, with a young player, there's going to be mistakes. So why not try to, you know, iron out some of these growing pains that they'll both have. And like you said, I want to see what Akilova has. At this point, Turco should put aside whatever his opinion is on him and see if he can count on him to pot in some goals. Because right now, at this point, you're not asking, you're not relying on who he wants. At this point, just anybody that can put in goals consistently is welcome. Yeah, those are, you know, aside from the Copa, like I said, those are two aspects of the game that that's going to keep me keep me tuning in. I just want to see some type of progress and see what are we going to, and we can have this conversation down the road too, because at this point we're starting to see what players are going to phase themselves out. I know the popular one is going to be Torlan Pavón. Didn't get to start against Toluca. And if Akilova starts, like I said, you can start him on the wing. He doesn't necessarily have to be a striker. He has that pace to be a winger. So that's a winger position. And then on the other side, you got Layún. I've been one of his biggest critics, but this year so far, he's been arguably one of the better players for the team. He's more suited as a wing back or playing up in the midfield as like a left mid or right mid, wherever they put him, just taking away his defensive responsibilities. He still shows that he has some type of offense left in the tank. But yeah, those are a couple of things that I'm trying to see, because if they lose or draw against Atletico on Saturday, it's pretty much it. That's all she wrote. Let's just enjoy it. I put it out to Twitter to see what people were looking forward to. So I'm going to read some of those in a bit. But Pat, I haven't had you on in a couple of weeks, so I'll ask. What changes, and we can have an in-depth conversation later on in the season, just because I would like to believe there's going to be changes. Just because when you're fighting at the bottom, there has to be changes. And you kind of mentioned it a little bit, maybe just leaving Turco Mohamed, and then maybe they figure it out, or they just give him a hoorah, even though they signed him to a contract extension. I think towards the end of next year, he's here till 2021. At least that contract extension that they gave him. At this point in the season, now that you've gotten a good handful of games, what exactly do you think needs to be changed? Because right now, it's been a disaster.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, I don't know. I put it out there that they might need to fire Turco. And I think they should. I get it, like, who do you go for, all that, but I just don't see the point of maintaining him. Like, how are you losing all these games with this team? You can't. You just can't. I don't know. That's how I feel. If you fire him, obviously don't go for your big name coach, you know. Get those guys in there, the Pepe Treviños, and those same guys that went in for Diego Alonso, and let him finish the season. You know, they'll play their youngsters and all that.
Yeah. Pat, I wanted to, sorry again to interrupt, but I want to say, I know this is like, not this rumor, but this like thought going around on Twitter where I see, do you think he's lost his like motivation? Because obviously one of the biggest motivations for him to try to win the league with this club was because he wanted to do it for his son. And I think you pointed out too, that he doesn't put like the rosary on the bench chair. He doesn't do any of the stuff that he used to do. Do you think that all is that all just like, we're just reading too much into it. That's just crazy. Or do you think, hey, you know what? That's, yeah, this guy kind of lost all motivation to try to win it for another title for this club.
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of like stepped it down a bit, like said, hey, yeah, we're good. You know, only a week of preseason. Nah, that's perfect. We'll take it easy. You know, we'll rest. And then probably after the first like 3-4 games, he was like, ah, this is like our preseason. We'll be back. You know, and maybe he did that. Maybe he just worked a little bit less than what he usually should have been working, you know? So, yeah, I mean, probably. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, how do you have this team playing so bad? It's unthinkable. But, hey, it's happening, and he's losing. And I don't know. I do think they need to fire him. I wanted him gone after the final. I love him, everything. He gave us a title, and I think that was a perfect way to say goodbye. And that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That contract was pretty much given because he won the title, and I don't know, man. It's just so many things you can go about talking about what's wrong with this team, and we could probably do it every week until they start putting together good performances. But I mean, the last thing that's left in this tournament is the Copa America, which gets back underway on Wednesday, I think. I gotta double check, but against Juarez, in Juarez, the first leg is in Juarez, the return leg is in Monterrey. But I think I read I think someone put out a starting 11 that they want to see, and it's Monchis Cardonas as the goalkeeper. You have Nico and Cesar as the center backs. Out on the wing or out as fullbacks, you have Stefan Medina and Daniel Parra. And then out on the midfield, you have the doble cinco between Celso and Kranevitter. And then on the wide midfield part of the pitch, you have Gallardo and Platano Alvarado, and then up front you have Jansen and Funes Mori. I kind of like that lineup. I would switch out Gallardo for Layún, just because Gallardo has been one of those players who's not had a good campaign, at least in my opinion. He hasn't been as effective. And so if you're going to, I would rather have Layún playing with Alvarado, just so you can have that veteran presence too. But do you like, you know, would you like to see this lineup on Wednesday against Juarez, or what lineup would you like to see against Juarez as we try to win the only trophy that we probably are going to be competing towards? Not necessarily it's all said and done that we're done with the league, but right now the higher chances of winning a trophy is going to be winning the Copa.
Yeah, I like that lineup. You know, there's names that we haven't really seen that much during the Liga. So that's always going to get a smile on my face, you know, rotation. And I was going to say that Copa's our best chance, but we're facing Juarez, who's playing some great football, and they're winning.
Yeah, I don't know. I think... I mean, you can put in Akilova for Funes Mori too. At this point, we kind of want to see different, you know, at least them noticing, hey, you know what, this isn't working. Let's try something different to try to get this ball rolling. But I think they can reach the final. I know against Juarez, they at least in the league, they played pretty well. Didn't get the win, but you know, they got the, I think they drew, right? They drew. But I mean, It's kind of just depressing a little bit, just because, like I said, I didn't expect this team to go out and win the league again, but I didn't expect them to be struggling this badly and being at the bottom for 8 weeks straight. So we'll see. I mean, we try to put as much positivity into this podcast, but when you're covering 8 weeks of bad soccer, it's kind of hard to just amp yourself up for it, but we try. Last thing, the questions that I brought up, or at least some of the comments that people left, kind of tweeted out an hour ago, just to see what people are looking forward to. Like I told you, Pat, some people are, what exactly are people most interested in that's going to keep them watching week in and week out, despite the games potentially becoming meaningless? I know some people put, trying to win the Copa. Some of the people who are following the team in Texas are saying, they want to go see them play in Austin during the FIFA break. And then some others put in, trying to see offense without Funes Mori having riding the bench. So I'll keep putting, I know I put that out on Friday too, and I got a lot of responses, just different areas to see what people's mindset are going into, as like I said, these games potentially becoming meaningless if they don't, at this point they haven't figured it out. It's going to be hard for them to figure it out and just go on a win streak. I think that's going to be about it, Pat. I think I'll ask you this, just because this was a conversation on Twitter. What are your thoughts on Gignac passing Suaso as he did last week? I think that's just because everybody had something to say, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah. What a way, I've just got to say it. That goal was crazy. The last one against Juarez. I mean, against Pumas. But yeah, he passed Suaso. Obviously, the debate opens up again, whether, who's been more important to Nuevo León football. I got this question asked by a friend, and I told them, without being a biased or a Reals fan, I would say Suaso. What he accomplished in that international level was out of this world. And then not only that, but Liga MX didn't fail either, two titles. And then what Gignac has created with Tigres is also something incredible. A lot of people obviously put them as a team of the decade. It's not a bad shout. I mean, mm-hmm. what they did was great during this past decade, and Gignac was obviously part of it. I think Gignac shouldn't even be discussed with Suaso if he had won some more titles, because he's lost a few finals now. So
they've had embarrassing defeats in international competitions. The one that comes on top of my mind is Toronto FC, where they lost at home. They were eliminated at home to Toronto a couple years ago, and it's just go ahead, Matt.
No, but imagine him not losing any of those titles, and he would have almost double the titles that Suaso has, then more goals, and that's undisputed. He is the number one, but in this case, he didn't. So you can still compare them. I don't know. It's a difficult one. I'm staying with Suaso forever. But,
yeah.
I get that discussion though.
Yeah, no, you saw it, and it's just not. It wasn't just people on Twitter. It was I saw ESPN talking about it. I saw TUDN talking about it. Different other media outlets were just bringing up the conversation. There was some, peaceful debating, and then there was the other name calling debating. But I would take Suaso just because I think of him more of as a complete player. If he's not scoring goals, he's helping generate chances. Not a lot of people brought up the 80 assists, which is if you're debating a player, you gotta take all aspects of their game, which is creating opportunities for other players. And there's a big wide margin in the assist column where Suaso, last I checked when he broke the record against Alianza last week. I don't know if anything has been updated, but there's a 50 assist margin between Suaso and Gignac. And then obviously obviously, like you mentioned, the international trophies. That's you got to win some international trophies at some point to be considered one of the greats. Just because you know, we see it often in European football. Some players are good, but yeah, they don't end up winning an international trophy or a trophy with their country, and it's a knock on them. So if you know, and if Gignac wants to be considered the best of Nuevo León, he has to win this CCL, just because they're one of the favorites, if not the favorite. Now that León is gone, I put them as a favorite, just because they've been here before. They've been in the semifinals. They've been in the finals. So we'll see. They struggled against Alianza. But we'll see how they handle, I think, New York City FC, that they'll play, I think, starting next week or 2 weeks. I don't know. I mean, I don't know the dates for that. But yeah, Pat, is there anything else you wanted to bring up, talk about? I know you've been gone for a couple weeks. Anything that you want to discuss or get off your chest before we head out?
No, not really. I mean, this team hasn't really given me content. It's been depressing. But yeah, I mean, I think we got our points clear on what we want to see. I think a lot of people will agree. And nothing, you know, just keep sharing if you're listening, follow. And obviously, I love what you've been doing with the different hosts.
Yeah.
Because they're great, and it just keeps expanding the Rayos 90 community, which is, I'm liking it.
Also, I just want to add this. I watched the Rayados game after the Toluca game, between the Rayados, 0-0 draw. Not a lot of offense being created. I mean, granted, the Rayados are starting off slow, like the Rayados, considering they had like a short off season. But you know, they're collecting points. They're getting some wins. They're in fourth. Last I checked, they're in fourth. So you know, they're not used to being this low in the table, but so far, I mean, just all you got to do is just find your legs. I mean, they were without Rebecca Bernal, Mariana Cadena, and Diana Evangelista for a couple of weeks. So I think eventually they're going to be start gelling and start putting up points. But at this point, just stay healthy, get in, and do your best there. Also, shout out to Ania Mejia, who retweeted one of the GIFs I created. Really good physical defending. I'm liking what I'm seeing from her. This is the first time I got to see Rayalas in a while, just because the YouTube links have been kind of down this tournament. Not a lot of like good quality. So it's kind of been hard to catch and watch a game. And then some of the games are at the Barrial, and those are like at 10:30 Monterrey time in the morning, and just the time difference, it's 8:30 here in the morning, and that's way too early on a Sunday morning to get up. But I'm trying my best to amp up the coverage on them. Hopefully they start playing on, or hopefully, you know, more people are starting to put up more quality streams of their games on YouTube, so I can be able to watch them. But yeah, I just wanted to put that in. Rayados are still doing their thing. They're a really good team. Yeah, that's let's just wrap up the podcast with that. Pat, where can people find you? I know you have a show tonight. If people want to tune in on that, if they haven't already, where can they tune in for all that?
Yeah, if you follow me in Tsunami Peaks in Twitter, I always put the show and all that. So. And I always retweet all the channels available for where you can see all that. I'll retweet them, and then if you like it, you know, obviously tune in. It's and it's coming back with more shows now, BMS Plus. So yeah, it's gonna be cool. And I always retweet everything, you know, related to what they do. And if you just follow me on Twitter, you'll see them, and then you can follow them from there.
Yeah. So follow Pat, do all that. I think that's gonna be about it. Next week we'll come back. Hopefully on a positive note, we'll see what they do against Juarez and I think it's Atlético San Luis that they're playing this week. But yeah, for Pat, I'm Eddie. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Well, guys, welcome to Rumpus segment of the Royals 90 podcast. Well, as we all know, we have lost against Toluca last Friday. I'm recording this on a Monday. We were visiting Toluca, and even though the schedule was changed, and I really think that Monterrey did a good job, it was one of the best games that I have seen this tournament, at least. Well, we couldn't just, the ball just wouldn't go in. So Toluca had 7 chances and scored 2. Rayados had 25 and scored nothing. I think that this segment is gonna be a bit different. I asked on Twitter at Rompas is back to all the Rompistas, what questions do they have for us, well, for me, to answer here in the podcast. So I'm gonna try to read them all and give a shout out to each and everyone who participated. So I'm gonna begin with Irving Ramirez at irv_1t26 at irv_t26. He asked, has Jansen earned the opportunity to play in the starting 11 and be the only forward? It's difficult because I didn't saw any opportunities missed by Jansen. This means that basically all the game was more onto to Funes Mori being the one who finish the plays. I would like to see him alone on the striker position, but I think that he's not somebody that Turco really likes. He brought Funes Mori back in 2015, so he's gonna use him at least for as long as he knows that Funes Mori is healthy. So I don't think that Jansen is going to be on the starting 11 alone. And, well, that's just because of those reasons that I already said. The next question, at @GolSoyYo_, can the defense of Rayados, can they beat the coronavirus? I don't think so. I don't think that either Basanta or Nico are able to beat coronavirus. Maybe Stefan. Oh, maybe him. At Mel Rayada, what do you think is the true cause for the team to be downhill? Are the players, the coach, or management? I think it's a combination of everything, because the management didn't brought the center back that we all know that we need. The players are the, I think that when it comes to responsibility in a football team, we have to at least give the players at least 60% of the responsibility. The other 40% would be the coach. The mistakes that the players are making are there. They're not being able to finish the plays. Apparently every striker that we have is not in the zone at the moment. And well, the coach, because he is the one who picks the player, so everybody has a bit of a responsibility. And I think it is a combination of all of them. At @JRick_Elizalde_G, should Rayados focus on La Copa and forget about the league? I don't think so, but that's just me, because I really have, as long as we have a chance, I'm going to have hope. So, I mean, it should be easier to go for La Copa, because you're now in the semifinal, and apparently you have the easiest of the semifinals games, which is Juarez. But again, Juarez is not an easy team. But I wouldn't throw right now the tournament, La Liga, I would try to get as many points as I can. Maybe you can start using the underage guys, so you don't have any problem at the end of the tournament that you might lose 3 points. But I wouldn't throw La Liga away. At Oscarito, literally, that's the Twitter account. Do you think this tournament is gonna leave anything productive mentally, or do you think it's gonna be a waste of tournament? I think that it's not gonna leave anything good if we keep on this path, right? But again, you might overcome the situation, and who knows? Maybe you get onto La Liguilla and everything changes. So it's difficult, but I don't see that anything good can come out of this tournament, because of the same reason that I was saying. The team is not on point. The coach is not on point. Maybe they're okay with the championship, and they think that they don't need to be 100%, because you have kind of a credit, right? Which I don't agree, but maybe that's the reason why we have been playing like that. At least the last two games, it was a little bit better, but the beginning was awful. If Rayados, well, at Regio Plus One, if Rayados is the dad and Rayados the mom, are the sub the Raya kids? Well, whatever. I didn't get it. So if it was a joke, I didn't get it. At Javier GZA 13, which is Javier Garza, who do you blame for this result? De quién o por qué la mala racha is what it says, but I'm trying to translate it, right? So, again, it's a combination of everybody. Since management, because we brought Akelova, I don't know why, if he's not playing, and not a center back, which was much more important, because I think Mohamed spoke to Basanta and he said that he was ready. But as we also, the years are affecting Basanta. He's not as quick as he used to be, and it showed itself against Toluca in the second goal. He completely loses the striker. I don't remember the name. He basically left him alone, so he just pushed literally the ball to a goal. At Jess Leal 7, you all know Jess. If Juarez beats Rayados in La Copa and the team just won't be okay, should Turco resign? I don't think that Turco is gonna resign for two reasons. He got what he wanted, which was the championship. He also did he coached the team on one of the best World Cups performances by any team on La Liga MX. So I don't think he's going to resign because of that. He knows what the team is capable, and he knows that if he has a opportunity to on the summer to have substitutions, he knows what he needs. So I don't think he's going to resign. And another thing is that the fact that it's a lot of money he would be missing. So it's simple. The management would have to fire him. That's the only way for Turco to go. Because right now, again, it's different from when he resigned a couple of years ago, because that was a combination of the two lost finals and the quarterfinals against Cholos and the CONCACAF Liga Campeones fiasco that he had against Arabia Unido. So it was a combination of a lot of things. And at the moment, those things are not there. So the team is, whether we like it or not, the team had the best year of the club history, so I don't think he's going to resign at all. At Catstan 13, does I'm reading this in Spanish, so is the team base on, well, is the team foundation for, is it enough? Is, well, the players, I guess. Do we have enough players, fundamental players, for a project that lasts more than four tournaments, whether it's national tournaments or international? I think that no, because the team is getting older. So at the moment, I don't think that this team can last four tournaments. National tournaments would be 2 years, and a lot of players, key players like Nico, Basanta, Mangioni, Barovero, Pavon, are either on their 30s, early 30s, or getting close to mid-30s. So I don't think that the team that we have right now is going to last 2 years. I think that Turco knows this, and he's going to do a lot of changes on the summer. And keep in mind that the foreigners rule is it's going to leave you with... You have to have less foreign players, so I don't think so. At Rayado Awewe, what happened to that team? That what's the difference from this team to the one who played against Liverpool? We cannot take that game against Liverpool as a standard, because that was a unique set of circumstances, and that performance, you're not gonna see it ever again from any player. That was the top of what they can do as players, so it's not gonna happen again, and we cannot take that as something to aspire to be as, because it's not gonna happen. That was just because it was Liverpool, and because it was the set of circumstances that allowed us to play like that. Charlie Waffles, at Magnifico Lirico, who's going to go first out of the team? Who's going to get out of the team first, Jansen or Mohamed? I think that Jansen. I don't think that, again, Jansen is the type of player that Turco wants. We all know that Turco is used to bring those type of players that are worth like 500k USD or maybe a million. Jansen is out of that sort of role that he has, and I wish he wouldn't, but I think that Jansen is gonna be he's gonna get fed up of it, of not playing, even though he deserves it. So he's gonna eventually go before Turco. Just it would take a disaster, like losing the Copa and not having more than 10 points on La Liga, for Turco to go, and that would be the only way for Jansen to stay longer than Turco Mohamed. Hugo Bautista, at 8, Bautista 7. About the future for Akilova, Jansen, and Kraneviter. Lova is not a player that Turco asked for, so therefore he's not going to play. So the future for him is not that good, unless he has some outstanding performance on any La Copa games, or maybe now that we are almost eliminated, he could see a bit more minutes, and that would be the only way. But I don't see a bright future for him as long as Turco is here. Jansen, it's the same thing. Turco is not gonna use Jansen before Funes Mori at any circumstances. The only way is like it happened on La Liga, the 2019 Clausura, that Funes Mori got injured, and that was the only way for Jansen to start, because he's not going to use both of them, and he's not going to prefer Jansen before Funes Mori at any point. So that's kind of difficult to say, because we all like Jansen persona, But when it comes to that type of players, again, Turco is really he has this way about approaching those type of players, like they have all the spotlight, and he doesn't like that. So okay. And Craniviter, I saw him playing really good against Toluca. I think he's gonna adapt soon enough, and he is gonna play it alongside Celso Ortiz, and he's gonna be here for a while. Again, he's Argentinian, so obviously Turco is gonna prefer him, and Turco is trying to have Charlie Rodriguez to be more of a offensive midfielder than a defensive one. So I think that we're gonna see the three of them like on a triangle, maybe with Gallardo and Pavon in the outside, and just Funes Mori alone as a striker. That I think that's the idea that Turco has. At Cano R. Reyes, big shout out to this guy, he's a good friend. The three questions that I would ask Mohamed, given the results that Rayados is having. The first one is the first question. I mean, I'm gonna go as I'm recording, right? I'm not writing anything down. I'm not thinking this through. It's the first time that I see this question. The first one could be, why the stubbornness of using players that are not really at the top of the level that they have, meaning Funes Mori, Pavon, even Charlie at the beginning of the tournament. Why does he think that that no matter what they do on the pitch, they have to be there? I think that every starting 11 is earned week in, week out. It's not something that I don't believe in having to start every single game with the same players. Maybe you could have like three or four, but not almost the entire team. I don't see why. So I would ask him that. I would ask him also if repeating the championship, being the bicampeón, isn't important to him, given that it's something not a lot of teams in La Liga MX has done before, at least in the short tournaments that we have at the moment. Only León and Pumas were able to. Pumas actually beat us to win the bicampeonato back in 2004 with Kikin Fonseca's goal, which is embarrassing enough. And then León, I think León beat America at the Azteca, actually. Matosas was the coach, and that's only two teams out of what I think the tournaments were installed, this type of tournaments, on 97, so it's a bit more than 20 years, almost 23 years, and only it has happened twice. So I would ask him that, because it doesn't, you might think that it's not important, that is something that it's okay, like, just to throw the tournament away. But I think that as Rayados fans, we always want the team to win. So it is kind of a letdown to see how the team is playing. And it kind of seems like they don't care as much as the fans do. So that would be the second question. And the third question would be, what does Janssen need to do for him to be considered the starting 11, at least on a couple of games, whether Funes Mori is healthy or not? I would ask him that, because it seems like it doesn't matter what Janssen does on La Copa MX, the place as a starting 11 striker is only for Funes Mori. So I would ask him that, because Maybe he sees something different than what we see on the actual games throughout the week. Maybe he sees something different. I don't know what it is. But it seems like Jansen could have more minutes in La Liga. And because, well, you have Jansen starting in La Copa, but you don't have the actual players that play in La Liga. So you have Jansen as the star, right? And it's not going to be the same when you play with Pavón or Gallardo than when you play with Alvarado, for instance. It's not going to be the same. You're not going to have the same chances. You basically have to create those chances by yourself, as Jansen has done before. And I think that it would help a lot for Jansen to be better if he can have minutes with the actual players that are the starters. Well, that's the questions that we had and at the moment. And well, again, the Twitter account, thank you for following us at Rumpus is Back. Thank you for following Rayados 90 at Rayados 90. Big shout out to Eddie, to Pat, to everybody involved on the podcast. This was a bit different segment. I think that I'm gonna incorporate this to what we do week in, week out, so we can have a bit more participation by the people, right? Shout out to all my rumpistas. Again, thank you for leaving a comment, for sharing, for rating, for everything that you guys do. Thank you for listening, and you're gonna hear us again next week, and hopefully it's gonna be on a different note. Hopefully Rayados can beat Juarez, at least not lose this Wednesday in La Copa. It's the first leg, semifinals, and then it's gonna be San Luis here Saturday 5 p.m. I hope that we can win both games. We could get on a road if we do that. So again, as long as we have chances, I'm gonna have my hopes up. So thank you, everybody, and have a great week.